As they always did, my morning rounds of the orchard ended back in the clearing in the center of it all. The newest sapling was here, a little separate from the far older trees around it, but close enough to be sheltered from the wind, while not far away from my home where I couldn't be there quickly. This one was different from the other trees, and very special to me. I gently checked the sapling and the ground around it for pests, but there were none. The soil was packed just right around the roots, with a good cover of leaves and other healthy organic matter around them. I closed my eyes, and I could hear the whisper of the surrounding trees. They were content. They knew they were safe from pests, from loggers, even from me. I would never carelessly kill another tree again. For countless centuries, I had acted as their protector. What I am is hard to explain, and you might not believe me, as human as I look right now. This is my most mobile form, but I could transform into a tree, looking every bit as real as any of the others in this orchard. You could call me a dryad, tree spirit, or even treant. None of them are strictly accurate. My kind are very rare, and I suspect there are fewer of us all the time. I evolved in symbiosis with the trees, even if so much of my life was spent far from here. That was still a painful series of memories for me, but I could not let myself forget. I did love my life back then, acting as a shepherd to my sylvan flock. I would tend to them as carefully as parent to their children, keeping them clean and healthy. When men came to take more of the fallen ones, I would drive them off at night, switching to one of my more imposing forms. I think they came to associate my section of the forest with being haunted or with monsters. But really, they were the monsters. But ironically enough, I craved human company. Trees are great company, if you're patient. They speak, but a sentence can take days. It is one thing when I lock myself into full tree form. My thoughts slow to match theirs when I do that. But out of necessity, I am often in this human-like form, or something in between. I can't afford to spend weeks or months just photosynthesizing and collecting water and nutrients from my roots like they do. So when late one fall night, a lone stranger passed through my section of the forest, I decided to greet them. I did it in my most human-like form, like the one I was in now. I didn't want to scare them. It didn't occur to me that I should be scared of them. Humans were not something I considered a threat to me, only to the trees I protected and the forest in general. I should have been more suspicious. Humans don't travel at night unless they can't help it. And they don't travel through my section of the forest, or at least hadn't in a long time. Perhaps those memories were now just a legend for them, or even less than that. Well, then it was a fresh start for us both. As they stumbled down a trail winding among the trees, I stepped out of cover directly in front of them, smiling in what I hoped was a convincing human fashion. They looked surprised. I knew enough about humans to know it was mostly men that ventured deep into the forest. If it were a woman, she never came alone. Or maybe it was my revealing clothing. Humans wore so much more than I usually did, but they were less resistant to the elements and nature than I was. I had a short, simple dress of sorts, made of spiderwebs, moss, leaves, and whatever else the forest provided. The man looked at me. His eyes different from any other human I had seen. I had scared so many of their loggers and looked directly into their eyes. His were colored in a way unusual for humans, and had a different look to them. Not fear, or at least of me. They looked hungry. "Please," said the man, taking a step back, "stay away from me." "I won't hurt you," I said quite naively for someone of my age. "I just want some company, to walk with you as you pass through, if that is okay." I took a few steps forward. The man suddenly gave a cry. It was a mixture of despair, but also something like the predators of the forest as they hunt their prey. Moving faster than I'd seen a human move, he was suddenly upon me, his arms around me, and then his fangs were in my neck. I don't remember humans having fangs. They evolved from needing such things in the distant past. I was taken by surprise and quite shocked. This hurt, badly, but yet it was somehow soothing. I struggled mentally to avoid the lolling effect this was having on me, and instinctively I sought to protect myself as my life force was drawn out of me by my neck. It took all my effort, but I shifted one of my arms into tree form, and then drove the resulting branch right through the creature's heart. Apparently that was the perfect weapon against this monster. I did not have a label for it then, but I later found out it was called a vampire. Confused, I watched as it screamed and turned to ash. Even as I found myself shifting more completely to an in-between form, where the sharpest of human teeth were not likely to make it through my bark. But the damage was done. I could feel something was wrong. My sap-like blood, or blood-like sap, however you wanted to look at it, burned in a way it never had before. I turned completely into tree form, sinking my roots deeply into the ground while I tried to heal. Except it just became worse. I could still take in water and sunlight, but that was not enough anymore. I craved something. Something new. I had never felt such hunger before. Except this was more accurately called a thirst. However, no amount of pulling moisture from the ground, rain falling on my leaves, or my more human form drinking it from the stream quenched it. For the first time in many seasons, I left the comfort of the part of my forest. I sought humans, but not because I was lonely. And I found one of them eventually. She was not too far from their settlements, venturing into the edges of the forest. She knew her way and gathered mushrooms and other gifts that the forest was happy to share with those who weren't too greedy. Well, now I was the greedy one. I needed her, and I needed her badly. She had time to feel my hungry eyes on her, but then suddenly my hands were on her too. Instinctively, I was in my human form. Although now I, too, had the hungry predator eyes and fangs of the monster that damned me. I could smell her blood more intensely now, and hear the frantic beating of her heart. I drew my head back as she screamed, ready to feast, and then I stopped. It's not that I did so voluntarily. I was out of control by then. But suddenly, the monster part of me realized that she didn't smell right. Despite the instincts that had driven me to hunt her, she was not the sustenance I needed. Resisting the urge to snap her neck out of frustration, I pushed her away, confused and even more thirsty now. I headed back to my home, full of mental and physical pain. It was only when I had made it back to the familiar trees of my home that I realized what I needed. The smell was right here. I shifted into an in-between form and then went to one of the trees. Stripping off the bark from a thick branch, I sunk enhanced fangs into the softer wood and fed on the sap which flowed within. I felt the tree's vitality flowing into me. This is what I needed to live. Even if it was an inefficient source of sustenance compared to the human blood of a normal vampire that they would live on. I drank so much sap from the tree that I feared I had killed it. If only I had been that merciful. Sometimes diseases take trees. I watch. Often they will only infect a certain type of tree, leaving the others unaffected. But other times, suddenly, it will spread between them, with the disease somehow finding a vector between the two hosts. Well, my vampirism was a disease. and I was a vector from humans to the trees. The ones I fed on began to change, to mutate. They became dark, twisted things. Their roots and branches began to reach hungrily towards their yet unaffected neighbors. I let it go on too long, living in denial of what was happening. And then one night, I called down the lightning. I struck down the first tree, which was the most monstrous of all. A fire started, and I fueled it with dead branches and the wind until it started to consume the other tortured trees around it. And then I let it spread some more, to take even the healthy trees far away, because I had to be sure. Their screams will forever haunt me. I intended to walk into the fire myself to close the circle, to kill this mutation of the disease, but in the end, I could not. The urge to survive was too great. Instead, I called the rain and put out the fire. I poked through the embers, making sure none of the abominations had survived. Well, other than me. I fled before I caused any more damage. I left my section of the forest, venturing much further away than I ever had. I traveled by night, avoiding the occasional human. During the day, I buried roots in the ground and took whatever sustenance I could. I tried to convince myself that it was enough. Humans became harder to avoid. They encroached on the forest, even cutting it down in some places. I wanted to stop them, but I didn't trust myself around humans in my current state. The smell of freshly cut wood was also far too tempting to my twisted biology now. I didn't dare get too close. Onward I pushed. Even as the thirst grew, I cursed myself for not embracing the fire earlier. If I had the strength to, I would have called fresh lightning down upon myself, but I could not. Then one day I came to a section of the forest where the trees were well maintained. I hadn't seen another section of forest as well taken care of as mine had once been. Had I found another of my kind? I was momentarily hopeful before realizing that I didn't dare meet one of my kind like this. Except there was a smell in the air. It called to me like nothing else had before. I followed the smell, struggling to stay in a more or less human form, since that was best for traveling. The smell led me to a small clearing in the woods, and then a house made from brick and wood, from trees that had been dead when harvested. The siren smell came from inside. Unable to hold myself back, I stumbled up to the door of the cabin. It was latched from the inside, but a brief shift in form let me break it, and then I pushed the door open. Inside, a surprised-looking human sat at a table, apparently eating their early morning meal. I could tell he was human and not vampire or one of my kind. But the smell was now overpowering to my senses. I stalked towards him and the table. He didn't seem to know what to do with the half-naked, red-eyed woman moving ever closer to him. And then I pounced. I grabbed up the little jug at the table that the smell was coming from and immediately drank from it. Thick, viscous fluid poured into my mouth, soothing my thirst more effectively than any sap ever had. And that was how I first encountered maple syrup. The human was a sugar maker. They lived in symbiosis with the trees in the orchard like I had once had. They protected them, and while he took their sap, it was never more than they could spare, and he did not damn them in the process. And the sap was concentrated in another building nearby, turning it into a thick syrup that was almost everything my body craved in a far more compact form. I was so thirsty. I drained the container quickly. Seeing my need, even if he didn't understand it, the sugar maker brought me more. So perfect was this food source that only a little more sated my thirst. He covered me with a blanket, although I think it was more for his comfort than mine. His intent was good. And then we talked. I knew their language, or had known a form of it. They change it so fast. While the trees speak the same words over a millennia. But we eventually met halfway with our words, and I told him what I had been, and still was, and what I had become. I don't think he would have believed me, had I not been able to quite effectively prove him by changing form, or showing more clearly my fangs and other vampiric curses. He invited me to stay. He had more than enough syrup for his own needs, and to sell or trade with a nearby town. If anything, there were more trees than he could handle, by a good margin. According to human laws, he owned a vast portion of the forest. He saw himself as its guardian. It was too big for him to watch at all or tap the nearby trees, but I could help with both. I wanted to help with it. Perhaps I could be a protector of trees again. I wanted to harvest their sap in a way that would not spread my curse to them. I wanted to live, even with the shadow over me. A sip or two a day of the amber elixir he helped the orchard produce was all I needed to maintain myself. And not least of all, I wanted not to be so lonely anymore. He was a good man. As a sugar maker, he lived in harmony with the forest as no human I had ever seen. He was a good shepherd, as I had been, at least within the limits of his humanity. Most importantly, the trees spoke highly of him. But he was lonely, too. He needed to live among the trees for his livelihood. He only ventured to town twice, occasionally to trade for items that he could not make himself, or to forage from the forest. There was not much opportunity for companionship of any kind. He showed me his ways, tending to his orchard and focusing their sap into something magical. I learned with an eager heart during the day and put roots down outside at night. In time, we fell in love. At least I think I did. I don't really have anything to compare it with, but I was feeling something that I never felt before. We shared his bed, an act I wasn't sure would work with me, except it did. It worked so incredibly well. As wonderful company as trees are, being with this mortal man was far more satisfying on many levels. More and more I spent my nights as a woman in his bed instead of as a tree outside. The sun finally rose completely over the horizon. In front of me, the sapling transformed into a baby girl. Her legs lightly buried in the soil. She yawned and then held her arms up for me sleepily. I picked her up lovingly, brushing the extra dirt off her legs. She was beautiful. The best of my people and of humanity put together. She didn't show my more recent curse, but I knew now that it could be managed if she did. "Let's go wake Daddy up, shall we?" I told her, as she smiled happily. Nourishing the sun at our backs, we headed home towards the cabin, to maple syrup, and a man far sweeter.